Good morning. And happy Father's Day to you, dads. We have a blessing for you a little bit later. And you play a role in the sermon today as well. I've not been a father. Of course, I have nieces and nephews. Then great-nieces and nephews, and now great-great-nieces and nephews, each generation more precious than the one before. And there are times I've had the privilege of, like, holding a sleeping child or playing with them, of course, or other kinds of things, and just, looking at them with such joy and love. I can't imagine, you parents, what it must be like to look at your children. To look upon them, whether they're sleeping or playing or doing those other things that kids can do. I'm sure there are times you've been moved to tears, just so filled with love for this child. Another time that we're moved to tears, sometimes on television, on the news show, there's either a human interest story or the actual news of people who are having a hard time. Right? Think of the people over fighting the war right now, and how terrible that is. People who have lost family members to gun violence. People who have suffered from natural disasters. And, sometimes the story is so real that we feel their pain, right? And we're moved to tears because we know what they're going through. In our scriptures today, in our first reading, and this is from early on in the Old Testament. God our Father is looking down on Israel, on his people, like a father looking upon his child, right? God is saying, you are my precious ones. You are my chosen ones. I love you. And I don't love you because you're a great nation, because you're the opposite of that. I don't love you because you're loyal, because you don't always do that either. I just love you because you're you, as a parent loves their child. In the gospel passage, Jesus looks at the crowd, and we're told his heart is moved with compassion for these people who are lost, who are struggling, who are suffering. His heart goes out to them. Elsewhere in scriptures, he looks at the crowd, and he's moved to tears. And so these stories tell us a lot about covenant love that we celebrate at the altar. It is compassionate love. The word compassion from the Latin com and passio, with and passion, or in other words, to feel what they're feeling is compassion. And we've had those kinds of experiences, right? And that's what we are called to do as we enter into covenant and renew the covenant at this altar each time we celebrate Eucharist. Covenant love is God with us with love. Covenant love is us with God with love. And covenant love is us with our neighbor, who is everyone, with love. Compassionate love. To feel their pain, to be open to that, so that we can respond with care and concern for those, as Jesus said, who are lost and in need of some shepherding. So Jesus sends out the 12 we have in our gospel today, and he had two dictates for them. The first was to proclaim the good news, but the second, he said, that they were then to show through mighty deeds the validity of what they were saying, their credibility was founded upon their ability to live the good news as well. That is to say, how they live, specifically their relationship with each other and with the people, is proof of God's love for the people and would draw the world to God. That was his plan, and it still is. What they did was far more important than what they said. Israel understood this as their covenant, that their relationships to each other based upon following the law would be the envy of their neighbors and would draw everyone to God as we read, especially in Isaiah the prophet. Missionaries know this point well, how they treat the people, again, far more important than anything they have to say. Paul, in our second reading today, speaks of justification in Christ, also our relationship with God, which proves who God is to others, and it is proven by the way we love them, by the way we relate to them, with how we care for them. Early on, the whole world was spoken through the words of Roman orator, see these Christians, how they love one another. That's how the church spread so rapidly in its early times. It was then, and it is still, God's plan for the conversion of the world. So Jesus' instruction to the disciples, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and drive out demons, is far more than a show of power. It is compassionate love, the heart of the good news, the sacrament of this altar. And so it is with us. We have been called to discipleship. We have been made God's special people, and we have been entrusted with the good news of salvation. We must proclaim the good news to others and be that healing touch of Christ in our world. And so we comfort those who mourn. We bring back to those who are lost in despair. We embrace those who have been ostracized by society. We drive out anger and fear and hatred. And so we heal the rifts in our families, in our communities, in our workplaces. We have been reconciled with God so that others can be reconciled through us. The kingdom of God has been opened to us, and now we must lead others there with us. In the prayer on synodality, Pope Francis writes, "We stand before you, Holy Spirit, as we gather together in your name. With you alone to guide us, make yourself at home in our hearts. Teach us the way we must go and how we are to pursue it." Finding our way is difficult. Living the good news is not without its challenges. In Veritas Splendor, John Paul II wrote, "To imitate and live out the love of Christ is not possible for one by their own strength alone. We become capable of this love only by virtue of a gift received." And so Jesus tells us, without cost you have received, and without cost you are to give. We are loved, and now we go forth to love in kind. It's all here in our Eucharistic renewal. Being fed, being loved, we are sent to proclaim the good news by living the good news with compassionate love for all of our brothers and sisters.